glory and honor unto thee, our great God of heaven, the Lord who created all things, the Lord who spoke the word, the Lord who made us, the Lord who formed us, the Lord who redeemed us. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence, O Lord. All we need is the heavenly kingdom, your presence, your spirit, the comforter, the Holy Ghost. And Lord, leave not the temple of Holy Ghost, O Lord. And Lord, we pray, O Father in heaven, that today is the day that you have decided that you would walk in the midst of us. And Lord, for that reason, O Lord, our life is worth the living. Whatever happened in the past, and we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever may come tomorrow, and we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because, O Lord, today we have seen the Lord's presence in the midst of us. And today we have experienced the Lord's love inside the heart of us. And for that reason, O Lord, it is worth living this life of trials and temptations, tests and valleys, pain and suffering, betrayal and denials. And Lord, our life is beautiful, wonderful, worth the living, because you have shed the blood for us on Calvary. No matter whatever happens to us, no matter whatever happened to us, no matter whatever may happen to us, our life is beautiful, our life is wonderful, because you decided to give your life for our life. Because there is only one life, there is only one Savior, there is only one truth. And Lord, we pray that may you bless us, that we continue to draw closer to thee, that we continue to be part of such a beautiful divine process of reconciliation, redemption. Lord, we pray, may you help us today, that we prepare us, Lord, that we would be able to prepare ourselves by the faith, by the truth, by the guidance of the Holy Ghost. For we are the bride, and we must prepare ourselves. We must surrender ourselves. For the groom is coming, and there is no time, O Lord. The grace is going to come to an end. For the beginning of all things is about to happen. And Lord, we pray, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we are prepared when you come and knock the door. We are ready to go home with you. Amen. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my precious dear brethren. We bless the name of the Lord. Last Sunday, Brother Paul's birthday. This Sunday, Brother Kathy, Sister Wendy, Sister Yvonne. It tells all of us the Lord's faithfulness in our lives, that he kept us as his child, that he kept us from all harm, that he kept us away from death, not yet. Every day, the Lord reminds us that we are born again because we are born dead. Amen. We are walking dead, as the book of Romans tells all of us. And the Lord said, it is enough. From now on, you walk like me in light. You walk with me in life, and you carry my life. You carry my light. We bless the name of the Lord for all the wonderful blessings that we received, not just between the four walls of your house, but most importantly, inside the wall of Jerusalem, the church of God, the fellowship of God, the family of God, the congregation of the Lord. It all matters. Amen. The mansion the Lord is building for us, preparing for us, which he had already spoken for us, it is ready for us to move in. We are tenants in this earth. We don't own anything. And until we move in to the new house, new city, new life, blessed rest, we are nothing but strangers here, but not people who roam here and there like wanderers, but the people of the way who know exactly where we are going, like the sojourners. Abraham, although he did not know where he is going, but he knows whom he is following. He knows the Creator, he knows the Father, and that's all he needed to know, because he is the way. And by the grace of God, we have all found the way through the ministry of the Lord, by the ministry of the Lord, for the ministry of the Lord, in the ministry of the Lord, because that is how he created us, in him, for for him, by him, and through him. So by the grace of God, we will continue to meditate on what Jesus went through in Calvary and what Jesus embraced for me in Calvary and what Jesus gave up for me in Calvary. What is the response of my life to that event? If the book of Romans, book of Corinthians, all the letters Apostle Paul wrote, it's extremely straightforward, like a double-edged sword, like an arrow from the hands of a talented archer. It just goes and hit the right spot, the bullseye, because it is not Apostle Paul. It is the Spirit of the Lord, which is inside the temple of the Lord, which is Apostle Paul. So Apostle Paul is a carrier, a messenger, a ship. Few years back, when we were meditating on the Ark of Noah, the Lord destroyed the flesh of the earth on the face of the earth, but he used a wooden vessel to preserve Noah and his family. But in the book of Acts, there was a wooden vessel to carry Apostle Paul to reach a destination, but the Lord sent storms to break the ship, but it could not break the ministry of Apostle Paul. Because he was able to jump and swim and reach the shore, because the true vessel was not a ship, it was Apostle Paul. The true message was not Apostle Paul, it was what inside Apostle Paul, which he reached the shore, met the people, and he spoke the words. Until Apostle Paul spoke the words, the message is not over. So the Lord was the one who was watching over the ship. That's why I wanted to sing the song, Like a Ship. I'm pretty sure most of you might have been thinking your life as a ship. Your problems as a ship. My health is broken. My sails are torn. Rocky sea. My job is very uncertain. My finance is extremely bad, poor. We are comparing all those things which we cannot take to heaven. That is not the ship the song is talking about. That is not the storm the song is warning us about. That is not the rest, which is somehow the Lord will sort this out. So I will rest today. Tomorrow, the Lord will solve all my problems. I'm going to be healthy, happy, strong, good. The Lord will give me peace. How long this would last? Until you live. After you die. Every song that we sing from this book, beautiful book of songs, it's nothing but the sermons from the Lord, messages from the Lord, prayers from the Lord, prayers to the Lord, warnings from the Lord, offerings to the Lord. It just, there is a tune to it. There is a music to it. There is a tone added. Someone mixed the tone to the chapters. Suddenly it became a song. If I read the same song, you would see maybe I'm reading a chapter from some scripture. So if I add a tone, the reading becomes a song. If I take the tone out, the song becomes a reading, isn't it? Amen. So why the Lord called all of us the song of my salvation? Then who plays the tune? Amen. When David played the music, the distressing spirit of Saul left him. He felt refreshed. Amen? Amen. What if David went there and just keep on knocking the floor, or breaking eggs, or throwing onions at him, or doing some crazy things? That is not the music. Music means it's well planned, beautifully thought, carefully executed, had purpose in the heart of the one who wrote the note. So when we say the song of salvation, it's all pointing back to us, to the foreknowledge of the Lord, how the Lord thought about all of us, that before he laid the foundations, we were in his mind. Don't you see, you are the notes of the chief musician. He spoke the word, a song of salvation from the Garden of Eden until we reach his blessed rest. There is a song going on, but the enemy wants to bark from the right side, scream from the left side to make sure that you don't hear the song, but you only focus on noises. Hey, you are sick. Just focus on the medicine. Just focus on the health. Forget about the Lord's goodness in you. Do not rejoice. Just focus on your problems. Just sing the song for that problem. It is good when we start our life as the faithful follower of Christ, as a babe. But the Apostle Paul said, I don't want you to remain as a babe. Correct? He said, spiritually, we must be grown up. Why? Bride must be of age to be ready for the marriage. But in flesh, the Lord said, do not be the adult. Correct? So now, in this process of the Lord's song of salvation is going on, what if one of the notes, one of the key parts of the word decided to play a different song? Then the whole song is not the song of Jesus Christ. There is a beautiful song in our church website, When Jesus Sing a Song. It's very close to my heart. I do not know how many of you listen to that song. Such a beautiful song. We praise the Lord for the vessel He used to write the song. Your life is not just a part of the word. The Lord is singing a song through your life, and that note is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of the Lord that leads me, that tells me where to go, that tells me how to do, that tells me what to do, when to do, how to speak, when to speak, when to be quiet, when to open the mouth. There is a control behind our life if we suppress our free will and let the Lord take over. But if we do not suppress the free will, the musician has no contact with the instrument. So we are the instrument, a flute, a piano, anything, whatever the beautiful favorite instrument that you think of. If the master is not touching me, if I am a flute, if the lips of Jesus is not kissing me, if the breath of Jesus is not flowing through me, that flute would not make any music. So, the offense of the cross ceased is a question mark Apostle Paul asked last Sunday through the scripture to all of us. And by the mercy of the Lord, He rewrote our life, isn't it? Not a sad song. Song of salvation, garment of praises, not garment of mourning, not eulogy. It's garment of victory, garment of praises. But the problem is, it is not going to be easy for us. He is not going to serve everything on a plate. He is someone who will give you a map and throw you in the forest and tell you to find the treasure and come back to me. Not because He wants to torture us, not because He wants not to guide you, but rather He believes you. He trusts you and He trusts the creation that He put inside you. And for that reason, He knows my word will go in the forest filled with wolves, filled with darkness, filled with snakes, serpents, viper. It doesn't matter. My word will go and will not go in vain. It will come back to me. They will go through, do the work, share the light, spread the gospel, preach the gospel, share testimonies, pray for one another. They will keep the lamp inside the dark forest so that those who were lost are nothing but the Lord whom He sent. Imagine the 50 of us, the Lord is sending us into a forest one by one at different time. And the rule of this game would be, if you decide to search in the forest for the treasure alone, you would die alone. But if you decide to speak the truth, share the light, shine the light, you would see someone is also searching for the same treasure, same as you, some other road, then you would see him. Then you too would join your hands. Then two of you would continue walk. Then you too would find the third one, fourth one, fifth one, sixth one, until the last sheep is found. The ministry of reconciliation will not be over. And this forest, the earth, has been going through this treasure hunt, bride hunt, for all these thousands of years. And the Lord is doing His work through you, through me, through His children. Because He cannot put His trust in anything else other than His creation. His image, His likeness. That is a privilege that we all have. It's not just a privilege. It's also something that was given to us by what He did on Calvary. It comes with pain. We always want to forget the pain of our flesh, but in doing so, we also forget the pain of Calvary without our knowledge. I have seen some of my friends many years ago, when we started, they were so excited, pumped up, full of excitement, joy, fire, to serve the Lord, to pray, to go for prayers, never miss any convention. Those 3 years were like, you know, like walking on a road of fire. After 3 years, when they lost the company of people, the fire was gone. And when I tried to fellowship, when I tried to remind them about Calvary, the common response I got from all of them who live in different countries, US, Canada, Australia, different corners of the earth, but same answer. Why are you talking about Calvary? He is resurrected. He is risen. Let's focus on the redemption, rapture. Let's go home. Good. Very good. That is encouragement. But what if it is too biased? Always encouragement. But there is nothing to reflect, to embrace the godly sorrow, godly pain. If there is no remorse, how the clay will be wet? If the clay is not wet, how the potter can mold? But there is a balance. The Lord never wants us to suffer in loathing. That is, loathing is evil. But realizing is divine. So when Apostle Paul said, do not be careless in letting the song of salvation that is being sung through you, the music the chief musician is playing through you, to destroy the distressing spirit of Saul's, people who do not know the Lord yet, people who has not really received the light yet, you are the music instrument the Son of David is playing. When He plays you, when He uses you, you say something, you do something, and that heals a brother, that encourages a sister, that heals someone who do not know the Lord, opens the eyes of someone who has not seen the truth. So that Son of David, using his sons and daughters, his children, to overcome the distressing, weariness, isolation, pain, things that worketh towards death, not worketh towards salvation. The Lord is making a way. So, as the instruments of the Lord, vessels of the Lord, who are called to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation, the word offense is not understood properly. People always use the word offend. Someone hurt me, I'm offended. That is not the full definition of offense. There are two components in the word offense. One, offender. Two, offended. Right? Someone created that event of offense. But that event is fruitless, useless, pointless, no power until someone receives it. When they receive it, he becomes offended. And the one who gave it become offender. If there is no sinful soul to be saved, there is no name as Savior. He gives salvation. I receive salvation. He is not the Savior until I receive. When I receive, He becomes the Savior. So I give Him the name Savior. I give Him the name Shepherd because I'm a sheep. If I'm a wolf, He is not a shepherd. There is nothing called wolfhood. Only shepherd. So, it is the one who receives gives the name to the one who sends it. In a good way or in a bad way. The moment I say I am offended, I am not just offended. I am giving a title to the one who spoke the word to me. Hey, from today onwards you will be called as offender. But he don't know. She don't know. But you, we give. Because it cannot work alone. Offender, offended. Murderer, murdered. Killer, killed. Savior, saved. Healer, healed. You can go on. Teacher, taught. Not students. If you are not taught, he is not a teacher. I can be a student, but learn nothing. But if I am well taught, then he becomes my teacher. Correct? Until I am well taught, he is not my teacher. I can say I am a student. He is a teacher, but not my teacher. Someone's teacher. If I say he is my teacher, I am well taught. Until I am well taught, he is not my teacher. If I marry him, he's my husband. If I don't marry him, he's not my husband. Until it's over, it's not over. Until we die, the process of perfection is not over. Because God is righteous. As simple as that. He would not let you breathe for 1 second more for no reason. Let's stop it there. As simple as that. He would not let you breathe for one more second if he has no purpose, no benefit for you or for his children. That's it. That is why Apostle Paul is extremely focused on the song in your life, the ministry in your life, the service in your life, the testimony in your life, the salvation of soul that is hidden in your life. If there was no Abraham, how come the land would be claimed for God's glory? If there was no Moses, who would deluge people of Israel? We may say the Lord will raise someone. But if there was no someone, then who? No, someone. If there was no someone, then who? You can just go on and you would realize that the Lord was working through his children for his children. That is the definition of ministry. The ministry is nothing but service. And the service is nothing but sacrifice. And sacrifice can be offering. But if you put all together, it is nothing but the Lord is redeeming something and he is not doing it alone. He is using his own seeds to do it. Imagine I prepare a fish net of fish. Can you imagine? I catch 1,000 fish and I tie all the fish one tail after another and I prepare a big net. But the net is also made of fish. Then I catch fish. A fish net made of fish to catch fish. That is the ministry of the Lord. A congregation of the Lord built by the children of the Lord to catch the children of the Lord who is not yet know the Lord. So now turn your scriptures to Matthew chapter 10 verse 33. Last two Sundays we established two words, denial and betrayal, because offense, if offense is a man, it has two legs, denial, betrayal, right leg, left leg. It can't run without these two. As simple as that. If you just imagine offense as a flesh, as a man, it needs betrayal and denial to work together, to run and do the job. Now let's learn from the one who was denied for me, the one who was betrayed for me. Let's see how he speaks. Chapter 10, verse 32. I will read from 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Let's go slow. One verse at a time. When James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess together, pray together, be healed together, immediately our flesh would say, why should I confess my sins to my brother? Why should I confess my weakness to my sister? Why should I expose my weakness to someone? Why? I don't have to. So we use the word confess as something that we are losing. We are losing our face, our reputation, our limelight, our spotlight, whatever it is, filthy things. But here Jesus is speaking about some word also confess. How these two words stand on two different books. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 33. And verse 32 says, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father in heaven. In the Old Testament, when Moses introduced the law, I'm sure people cursed him all day and night. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. What an evil, violent leader Moses. Please tell me, verse 32, do you see anything else other than what was taught in the book of Old Testament? What Jesus says, if you don't confess, I won't confess your name. Isn't it like a revengeful thought? Can you please introduce grace here? Can you please try your best to force mercy here? There is no gap. One single verse, Jesus says, if you don't confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before my Father in heaven. Case closed, right? Now this confession, what is it? In the baptism, we say, Lord, I confess, I'm a sinner, and I receive you as my Lord. And I know that you are the creator, you are my everything. Lord, I surrender myself and I receive the baptism. And what is confession? Our flesh would say, hey, don't worry, it is submission, it's okay. We submit, we just accept it. So we use the word conversion for submission, acceptance on one side. And we use the word conversion for why should I share my weakness with you? Why should I say everything to my people of God? Why? I report to God. I report to God alone. If I make a mistake, the Lord will help me. I would overcome and I would tell him, I would tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Then I go and do what I will do. So that confession is exposing. Second. And third, Jesus says, if you don't confess me, what do you mean by confess the Lord? The same way the word confession has three different attributes of understanding, the word affirmance is also completely misunderstood. Because it has been used frequently in the world that we live. In office, a staff would tell the supervisor, the way you spoke to me in the meeting, I'm offended. Then you hear this, oh, which means offended means someone says something to me, they touched my sensitive thoughts and I become very angry or very sad. Because I'm a sensitive person, I have the right to be offended. That is what the world teaches us, correct? But we are not the people of the world. Wide is the gate that leads us to death. Narrow is the way that leads us to Jesus. There are only two things, Jesus and death. And that death will also not stay forever. It will be burnt and destroyed in the lake of fire. And that fire will stay forever because it was created by God Almighty. But the death which was burnt will be destroyed forever, which means it would never rise again. Gone for once. And that is the thing that we are all holding in our life, carrying in our life as we embrace the survival day to day. I have to work, get the money, buy the food, give it to family. I feel, 1 month over. When is my next month's salary date? All of us are going through this. I know. Extremely painful, frustrating, depressing, but it can't destroy us. It can't do anything to us. It is not going to have any influence. The moment we take one step inside, the blessed rest in Him. The Lord is my Sabbath. Until then, whatever the Lord allowed you to embrace, the ship of your life, there are two. One, your physical flesh, the ship that can be broken, destroyed in the storm. Apostle Paul has showed us. But our enemy would say, don't worry. You sang a song, the Bible says, you would never be destroyed. But you could be destroyed. That there is one more ship in you. The same way the wooden ship was carrying Apostle Paul, the whole world can come against the ship and burn the ship, destroy the ship, but there is one more ship of God inside, which was walking in the 2 feet. Apostle Paul, created, carefully crafted, wonderfully made, fearfully made by God Almighty. And that ship, no one can touch him. No one can kill him until the Lord decided, my sheep, time for slaughter, not for time for victory. All the apostles were killed. Killed by sickness, killed by men, killed by women, killed by flesh, killed by world, killed by power, killed by authority, killed by guns, killed by arrows. Whatever it is, they were killed. Remember this. They did not die. They were killed. Do you hear me? All the true servants of God, they were killed. Because that much hatred, that much aggression, that much revengeful thought, the flesh would go against him. Then who is our enemy? Don't tell me devil, Satan, and the 1/3 of angels whom he also brought. What is the true enemy for the church of God? True repentance is a title. If we need to understand what is true repentance, then we must know what is my true battle. In a battle, there is an enemy, not a false enemy, some true enemy. When it's a true enemy, the battle is real. Goliath is not a mirage. He is standing there with all his shekels on his body. He's real. The enemy is there. When I say in flesh, he's real. But only God is real as a whole. But in flesh, the enemy is real. Battle is real. In our flesh, as we fight. But if I do not know my enemy, then I would be confounding myself. It's not me, it's the enemy. Like how Adam said, it's not me, go and ask the woman you gave me. And the woman said, go and ask the serpent you sent in the garden. The blaming game continues. Instead of passing the light, we pass the blame. So now, the true enemy is nothing but the lack of understanding. Lucifer had a lack of understanding. What if I lift up my position, took my throne on par with the Almighty's throne? Lack of understanding. Something came inside him and he completely lost his mind. His mind was compromised. He fell. The true enemy for all of us who speak the truth, who follow the truth, who receive the truth, for Jesus Christ is the truth. Everything else other than the truth is lack of understanding. That is my enemy. That is your enemy. That is our enemy, not the flesh and blood. So what is the wickedness? Lack of understanding. So the wickedness is lack of understanding. Darkness, lack of understanding. Death, because of lack of understanding. Sin, because of lack of understanding. Disobedience, because of lack of understanding. Everything is because of lack of understanding. Offense is a simple sign of lack of understanding. It can produce anger, it can produce sadness, it can produce weariness, it can produce things that would compromise, that would pollute, disturb the song of salvation through you to become a noise. Noise, unbearable noise or unbearable silence, whatever it is. So the two ship, one, the flesh that is carrying me, and me carrying the word of God in me, the Lord Almighty in me, the Comforter is in me, the temple of Holy Ghost is a true ship that cannot be broken. And that ship is the target of the enemy offense. When the ship breaks, Apostle Paul will sink right with the ship. But if he do not remember, hey, I know how to swim. But what if he's panicking? Oh, the ship is broken. The storm is here. Maybe it is a time for me to die as a martyr. Then Peter, James, John would all go and tell people, thank God there was no cell phone at the time. It would have been extremely, I would say, full of madness by the flesh. You see the way the Lord introduced the communication between God's children those days. Either you meet face to face or you send a letter, you have to wait. You have to wait, no choice. When you wait, your anger will subside. Your sadness will subside. Your eyes will come to a steady state. You will be clear. The Lord allowed them for a natural process of healing. But now, no. 1 second, you can kill someone by calling and express your anger. When Apostle Paul's ministry was to go to the shore and preach the gospel, the ship was broken. But if Apostle Paul did not know or did not think that nothing can destroy the work of the Lord in me, and I know how to swim, and he swim through the ocean, in the sea, and reach the shore. Now, when the storm hits our life, it can be sin, it can be pride, it can be weariness, it can be anything that is your addiction, your weakness, that comes and hit your ship, the physical ship. But deep inside, the note, the song, the salvation, the word, the ministry, the Lord's purpose in you, that you are carrying deep inside you. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. We must apply that verse for this ship, not the wooden ship, the ship of my life, me. As Sister Wendy Clement was telling, I thank myself. It's not a selfish note. If the Lord is in me, if you are going to thank the Lord, you thank the Lord, Lord, I thank you for my life. Because if you don't have life, how would you thank the Lord? So Apostle Paul had the ministry in him, the work in him, the purpose in him. He swam across and he delivered the message, isn't it? But the people or the storm or the wooden ship could not do anything to him. The offense of the cross could not be ceased. So now, let's remember this and read the next verse, 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. He is called the Prince of Peace. You see how ironic it is. His name is Prince of Peace. And he tells us, do not think I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Spoken by the double-edged sword, spoken by the Prince of Peace. The Lord is not telling that I'm not giving you peace. No, he's telling, do not misuse the word peace in me. Do not misunderstand the ministry of me. When the people of Israel were rested in peace for the very first time after all the battles, the Bible says Joshua overcame all the battles with the people of Israel and the land rested and they had peace for the first time. But that peace was not something like a manna fell from heaven. There was a battle on earth. They had to use the sword. They were injured. They were attacked by enemy. And then they received the peace. Do we really think that we can receive the Prince of Peace without going through battle? Do we really think that I can receive Jesus Christ, the Lord of my Sabbath, my blessed rest, in whom I will rest? God of peace, God of comfort. If I want to receive him, I must overcome all the battle. If I want to overcome all the battle, I must put on the armor of God. I must put on the armor of righteousness. Because Jesus said, offenses must come. Enemies will come with the arrow, with the sword, with the word, with the action, with the thought, with the intent, with a plan, carefully crafted, cunning plan to come and pull you down, to come and destroy your ship. But yet, that vessel of Apostle Paul, the vessel of you in your life can swim. You don't need that boat to deliver the message. You don't need whatever thing that is your strength or weakness. You don't need any of it to deliver the Lord's purpose in your life before you reach the shore. You can do it because he can do it. And that is exactly what we are going to focus today. Now, if Jesus has said that, there must be a strong reflection from the servant. Let's turn to scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 3. Verse 3 to 13. Brother Clement, please read this for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 to 13.
We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, speak as to children, you also be open.
Amen. The King James Version used the word enlarged. When a woman conceives a child, her body enlarged to be able to carry the child. What a beautiful creation of God. And after the body enlarged, the child grows. As a child grows, the body also enlarged to be able to keep the child healthy, happy, and with full of life. Until the child is delivered, that enlarging process must stay. Book of Psalms says, open your mouth wide for the Lord to fill you. Amen. Open my mouth wide. Why? before we were all baptized, the Bible says, out of the mouth confession is made. Why? I believe in God inside my heart. Can't you read my mind? The truth is, nobody can read your mind. Even, not even a wife can read the husband. Husband cannot read the wife. Children can't read the parents. Parents can't read the children. We are all created uniquely. Our mind is extremely complex. Only God can examine the heart and intents and thoughts of men. Not anyone. Out of the mouth, the confession is made. So now, here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 says, give no offense. So let's go step by step. My first question is, why not take? Why give? Or why not receive? It's a valid question, right? What do you mean by give no offense? Why can't it be receive no offense? Let the ministry be not blamed. No, that's not how the scripture says it. Give no offense. The only thing that comes to our heart the moment we hear the word G-I-V-E, give thanks, Psalm number 44. All right? Everybody is familiar. Give thanks 44. Give thanks 44. Give no offense in anything that the ministry of the Lord in you, that the ministry of the Lord where you are in, that the ministry of the Lord that is going to be completed by you, in you, through you, for his children tomorrow, today, be not blamed. Why blamed? What do you mean by blamed? The blaming game started from the Garden of Eden and it would never end until we reach the new city, Holy Jerusalem. Not me, him. Not me, her. Not her, them. No. I'm clean. I'm holy. I'm full of fine linen clothing. I use a beautiful detergent powder. It cleans all the stain in my clothing. Ministry, be not blamed. When Jesus said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me. If Peter thinks, what? I left everything for you and you call me Satan, I'm done. You are not the son of David. I'm sure. Because the Bible says his name is wonderful, he is counselor, he is full of love, full of mercy, full of light. There is no way you are the Jesus we are looking for. No. Peter, the seed of God, understand. The doctor, the physician, the divine healer, he is healing the parasite on my body, my flesh. You go to a hospital, you have cold, cough or fever, and the doctor gives the medicine not for you, because that doesn't belong to you. It came upon you. He gives the medicine to destroy the fever, the virus or the bacteria, whatever is the root cause of the sickness. That medicine is a spear like Phinehas threw to those two who were committing abomination to pollute the congregation of the Lord. And that truth, the spear of truth, destroyed them where there are two in agreement to deny, to betray, to pollute God's congregation. The truth eliminated. It's not Phinehas. It's a spear of truth. And the Lord of hosts. And when the divine healer comes and meets you, you say, Lord, I'm very sad. And the Lord says, I did not create you to be so sad, so angry, so weary. It's not my original creation, which means you need pruning. You need something to be cut off, not repair. Most of the time, we want repair. But ask the Lord, Lord, give me something new. God gave a new heart to Saul. And David says, create in me a new heart. He did not say, I love my heart, just repair me, okay? Don't make any further damage. He said, create in me a new heart. He was willing to let go everything to receive something new. New. So if the sickness is different from injury, if my leg is broken because I fell, I cannot go and say, get thee behind me, you fracture. I can't say, my leg, I want my leg. I need healing. But if I have some cough or cold or fever, something like a parasite sitting on me that is not part of my body, I can say, get thee behind me, cough. Get thee behind me, you fever. Get thee behind me, you death. Get thee behind me, you darkness. Get thee behind me, you lie. Get thee behind me, you pride. Get thee behind me, you arrogance, you violence, you aggression, you depression. You can rebuke it in Jesus' name. Why? It is not part of you. But my bone is part of me. My flesh is part of me. My body is part of me. So the Lord is looking at two things. One, sickness caused by parasite or something that is not part of your life. Something that you have broken and the temple needs restoration. That is healing the injury, wounds, and this healing the sickness. When Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," there was an influence, there was a compromise. The flesh fell and the Lord is warning and rebuking that wickedness and also warning all of us, be careful. If not, you do not know which manner of spirit you are of. Be careful. Test every spirit. The Bible says it. Test. Ask. Deny. So now, when Apostle Paul says, give no offense, because if I want to give my offering as my life as a living sacrifice, but what if my life as a living sacrifice is nothing but an offense to the Lord Almighty? Lord, I serve you. This man, he spoke blasphemy. I'm dragging him out of the synagogue. I'm going to stone him to death. Look at my service. Thou art an offense to me. That's what the Lord would say. Lord, you sent us to destroy all the enemies. But you know what? We studied scripture, and from Moses, Aaron, all the prophets, we learned that we had to be very kind and very merciful. So we left some enemies left. You see how merciful we are? Thousands of years, you would repay for what you did today. Happening, right? To the entire land of Israel. Two extremes. On one side, wow, what this God wants from me? I showed mercy, he slapped me. I showed rudeness, he still slapped me. If sin is also an offense to the Garden of Eden, to the point whereby Garden of Eden spat them out, because Garden of Eden was created to glorify God's name. And the Lord threw Adam out, threw Eve out, and also cursed serpent to go out, and he shielded the Garden of Eden. Why? Because offense cannot take place in the presence of the Lord Almighty. There is only one who has the power and authority to say, I am offended. I am the great I am. I am the who I am. Because Jesus said, thou art an offense to me. Which means, there is offense. Isn't it? Jesus said, thou art an offense to me. Which means, Jesus says, yes, you offended me. Didn't they kill him on Calvary? Didn't they kill Abel? All the righteous blood that was shed on the face of the earth. Don't you see the Lord is offended? I'm not saying, the Bible says it. What is offended? The Lord feels sad. Huh? The Lord is always angry. No. What is offended? You violated. Disobeyed. That's it. You denied me, I deny you. That's it. No extra dramatic sentiment reactions. You deny me, I deny you. A-B-A, nay-B-nay. Let's go on. Grace is the time God spent so divinely, so beautifully, so precisely, that there is no delay, no failure, that God had to go back and find the key where he lost. God would never lose anything, not even a single sheep. Everything is in his hand. So now, in that perspective, if Apostle Paul says, give no offense, which means the Lord says, take responsibility of your life. Do not point your finger to someone. Someone gave me. I'm not at fault. The Lord says, give no offense. Which means what? It comes from me. I can't give if I don't have. And the Lord says, I know for sure you have. If I said take no, for example, Brother Joshua has 2 kilograms of offense. I come and take 1 kg from him. Brother Joshua, let's share, okay? Let's be offended together, 50-50. That is take. No, the Lord says give, which means you have it. Which means Adam cannot blame Eve. Eve cannot blame serpent. And serpent cannot blame anyone. All three failed. There was disobedience. So, the sacrifice of my Savior, my Redeemer, my Prince, my Groom, my everything who shed the blood for me on Calvary. Is it worth it? What I feel? Is it worth it what I did? Is it worth it what I perceive? Which means lack of understanding is a true offense, that is a battle of righteousness God is fighting against. Now, let's turn our Bibles and we go one step closer with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. I will read from 7, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Which means there was an ignorance, denial, betrayal, blaming, ignoring, and that became the head of the church, Jesus Christ, the lively stone, chief cornerstone, the foundation of truth. And verse 8 is the next other side of it. And a stone. Which stone? Of stumbling and a rock of offense. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Rock of ages, we like. Rock of offense, please stay away from me. We can use the word yes or see, depends on which English we speak. I don't know any other English. All I know is only one English. Whether it's American English, British English, you decide it. You can use offense, yes or see. But it means the same. So now, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Not your emotions, not your feelings, not what you believe, not what you think, not what you perceive, not what benefits you. So the truth is, whenever I wrongly offend myself, which means I did something that benefits me and benefits me alone, and the ministry of the Lord is blamed completely. Now, here it says, Apostle Paul says, stumble at the word being disobedient. So who is the word? Jesus Christ. Then what is lack of understanding? If he is my true understanding, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And the knowledge of holy is understanding who is holy. Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Israel. If I know him, that is my understanding. If I don't know him, that is my lack of understanding. I know him, but I want to know him in a way that fits my, which means you don't know him. So when understanding is compromised by my emotions, by my feeling, by my selfishness, by what profits my flesh, then that understanding becomes lack of understanding. There is only one stone. There is only one wall of Jerusalem. Either you are inside the wall or you are outside the wall, but the same wall. I can say, brother, I'm standing near the wall, just 2 centimeters away. Oh, is it? I'm also standing near the wall. Okay, look at this. So many arrows are coming against us. Don't worry. We are near the wall. Yeah, we are near the wall. But the one who is inside will be taken to the temple. The one who is outside will be killed by the arrow. Standing near Jesus is not faithful discipleship. Having Jesus standing in you is what? The faithful discipleship. Because he is inside. He always wants to be inside. Enlarge. Mouth represents the sign of heart. Abundance of the heart is a sign of my mouth. If I say something, it means I meant something. I can't simply say, I have 2 brains here and 1 more heart here. Not, it's not from me. I just out of emotions, I just spill the word. No, don't take it seriously. No. You said it because you meant it. So you have to apologize for it. No choice. So now it says, Apostle Paul says, enlarge your mouth, ask the Lord, confess to the Lord, pray to the Lord, speak the Lord's glory, everything we speak, not just the physical way of speaking, but my life as a living sacrifice. Enlarge, great expectation that the Lord will do great things in me, for the land, for the people I love, for my life until I die. There is something great the Lord would do. If I don't have the enlarging expectation, then I'm limiting God. Lord, this is enough. $2 is enough. I will just drink a tea and go home. The Lord says, I can buy a restaurant for you, feed people. No, Lord. Just 1 single tea is enough for me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's never about us. Apostle Paul says, ministry, be not blamed. Ministry, Jesus Christ, his purpose. Now it says here, verse 7, and being disobedient, because stumble at the word means nothing but disobedience. Because word is trust and obedience. Stumbling at the word means I try to pollute the word, misunderstand the word, or in other words, I wanted to personally use the word for my own dishonest gains. Stumble at the word. Because that rock, my dear brethren, those who go and hit will die. And those who go and hit him once with his truth, he will give us a fountain of life to drink. When the kings or the people who are in power, when the time of Moses, time when he was born, they throw all the children in the river to kill them, right? When Jesus was born, the one who was the ruler of the land, they throw all the child against a rock and they kill the child, right? Throw into the river, kill the flesh. Throw into the river, kill the child. Moses survived. Jesus survived. Because there was a ministry in them. And the Lord wanted to finish the way he wanted to finish. The same way, when the stone of offense come and hit us, we have to remember, did I stumble at the word of God? Did I misunderstand anything for my own liking? Did I twist the word of God? Did I add something or remove something that fits me alone? That doesn't benefit them as a whole. When that happens, we will realize offenses must come. But if it really penetrated you, pierced you, compromise was made. A breach has been made. And the Lord wants to seal the breach. And that sealing the breach is the true repentance that we are all meditating. And the word offense is not what someone said about me, I'm hurt. That is stage one. It's what the Lord thinks about me, I feel responsible. That is the stage the bride should be. But if I do not understand this earthly reconciliation, I would never understand heavenly reconciliation. Correct? Because he is the God of heaven and earth. All things in earth, all things in heaven, they are all subject to him. As it is in heaven, as it is in earth. Whether there are two or more gathered in his name, whatever you bind on earth, on heaven. Why? There is always a reconciliation, resonation. Can't be separated. Because the heavenly kingdom will be established. Now, the rock of offense stumble at the word. Remember these two words. Where unto also they were appointed. So, this is what 2 Peter says. Now let's go to the prophetical book, book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 14. Let's read a few verses before we go back to the gospel and the letters of Apostle Paul. Book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 14. Let's read from the context of the prophet. I would read from verse 11. Yes, verse 11, because it talks about sanctification. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, not a weak hand. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand. Let's just stop here for a while. How can I speak with my hand? The Bible says it. The Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand. When the Red Sea was divided, there was no word spoken by Moses. The Lord said, just outstretch your hand, keep it outstretched. I will divide the sea and show them the narrow way, dry land. People will walk, but you just keep the hand straight, outstretched. To represent God's mighty hand is not weakened, is still outstretched for us to receive the help from him, for us to touch him. For us to go back to his mighty hand, is always outstretched. Until the grace period is over, it's always outstretched. And he speaks to us by actions, by experiences, by allowing us to experience something on our own or by his will if we submit. If you don't submit, you become disobedient, you pay the price. And you learn through painful experience. Either way, the child of God is keep learning, keep on going through pruning, keep on going through perfection. And thus the Lord spake to me with a strong hand. and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying. So it was an instruction, command. What Apostle Paul says and Apostle Peter says in the book of Acts. For a moment of time, God winked at this ignorance, and after that, he commanded every man to repent. Commanded, instructed, commanded. No request, no choice. Because the Lord took the authority over his children. He loves them. A father, he knows his children. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Do I read correctly? Sanctify the Lord of hosts in your heart, and let him be the only one whom you fear. And not just that, let him be your fear. Do you have fear? Hey, fear me. I can jump from the cliff, I can go to the underwater, I can do this and that. I fear nothing, I fear none. Let him be your fear. The fear of God is a knowledge of beginning and wisdom. Both the words are clapping the same song. Let him be your fear. Let him be your confidence. Let him be your shelter. He is your everything. Godly fear is not the fear of punishment. It's the fear of how much he loves me. Come on. Why he loves me this much? I don't know. Sometimes you are not scared, but you have the fear in your heart by the presence of God, by the love of God. The fear is, like how Job said, the day I greatly feared came upon me. What would happen to me if the Lord takes his hands off you? What would happen to this filthy flesh without him? A fear of uncertainty without the one who is certain forever. Who is, who was, who will be forever. The same yesterday and today. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What would happen to me without him? A beautiful divine fear that makes you to be awakened. Oh God, I should not sleep. Let him be your fear. Okay. Fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Great and terrible God is also a beautiful name of him. Not in a bad way, a good way. Imagine beasts are coming to you in the forest, and you say, hey, do you know who we are? We serve the Lord who is great and terrible to those who come against us. Just get thee behind us. You want to come and divide us? Get thee behind us. You want to come and disturb us? Get thee behind us. How do you say? Take your eyes, fix it on the author of salvation, and the vipers will be trying to get your attention. Hey, look down, I'm hurting you. I'm sorry, I can't feel the pain. I'm just rejoicing in what the Lord is doing in my life. Oh, Apostle Paul, wake up. The whole ship is broken. Wait, I'm preparing for a sermon. Once I reach the seashore, I should preach. Just don't disturb me. Apostle Paul, you would die. I can't die. The message is not delivered yet. God told me you would deliver this. I would deliver this. He swam. Apostle Paul, you don't know how to swim. Don't worry. The fish will come and swallow me, will deliver me at the shore. Not possible. Let's call Jonah. No matter what happens, the ocean will dry, a ocean will divide. Yes, something will happen. God will create a land, or people will come and jump into the ocean, and they will keep swimming and listen to the sermon. Whatever may come against God's will, everything will be destroyed into powder, will be given to those who send it. And here it says, he shall be for a sanctuary. Singapore bird sanctuary. Children would immediately understand. What is sanctuary? There are so many birds inside a sanctuary and they don't leave the sanctuary. It's called sanctuary. Oh, brother, birds meant to fly should be flying outside. Of course, true. I'm not denying that. Okay, the whole earth, bird sanctuary. All the birds are flying freely here and there. Still, they can't go outside the atmosphere. They will die. At the end of the day, you are in a bigger prison or in a smaller prison. You are in a prison. Either way, whether you like it or not, we are all in a prison. And is it the prison of Christ or the prison of flesh? That's the question we are all reflecting. So he says here, verse 14, he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both, I repeat, to both the house of Israel for a gain and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What? I thought Israel, Jerusalem, they are all together. Why the Lord separating? Is he separating or addressing it differently? Those who remain in Jerusalem, never forget that verse, my dear brethren. Those who remain in Jerusalem, those who were inside the house of the Lord, where the doorpost was applied with the blood of the sacrificial lamb, the Passover, Pesach in Hebrew. Those who are inside the wall, those who are inside the door. Imagine, I tell all of you, my brethren, God gave me this bucket of blood. He asked me to go and apply blood on all the doors. I'm doing this. I am also near the door. And there are people who are inside the door. They are also near the door. And suddenly I want to become a hero. Oh, the plague is coming. Oh, there are 10 more houses. Lord, give me the strength to run like Elijah, Elisha. I run faster and go and apply blood all the doorposts. And the plague comes. Do you think you will escape? The plague does not see who is righteous, who is holy, who is unrighteous, who is weak, who is strong, who is sinner, because there is no one who is holy. We all sin and fall short of the glory of the Lord. But there are only two things the plague would see: those who obey and those who disobey. Lord, I didn't disobey. I just exercised my intelligence over your will. Disobedience. The plague does not see anyone. Those who are inside the door, those who are outside the door, case closed. Those who are inside Jesus Christ and those who are outside Jesus Christ. Those who carry Jesus Christ and those who simply walk close to Jesus Christ. So when that stumbling word comes in all our life, we sometimes say, my brother, I don't want to be stumbling block to you. Hey, who am I? Hey, why should I exalt myself? Who am I? How can I be a stumbling block to you? Do you know what the scripture says? We have no power to stop the salvation of anyone. Do you agree? You have no power to stop the healing of someone. Do you agree? You are not powerful. But what if there is a man walking on death sentence, at 5 o'clock, a lorry will come and hit him and his life will be taken. At 4:45, you are so angry because he offended you on the way. And you got very angry. He said, how dare you? You talk to me like that. And you push him. Because you pushed, he fell. And the same lorry came and he died. But he was supposed to be died by the same lorry without you pushing him down. But because you pushed him down, now he became a murderer. That is exactly what's happening to the wickedness. That wickedness, my precious dear brethren, will be burnt to the ground by the lake of fire by God Almighty. Death will be destroyed. Offense will be destroyed. All the evil thing the Lord hates will be destroyed by his perfect will that will come and bulldoze everything into ashes. But if we want to do something and to allow the parasite to come and pull us, and we would go along. If I'm sick, the medicine is not for me, it's for a sickness. If I choose to tell the divine healer, I don't need a medicine. I'm strong in you. I'm strong for you. I'm strong by you. You know what will happen? That sickness will take you to death, which it was supposed to go alone. That evil, when Lucifer fell, not as an evil angel, but he embraced lack of understanding, he fell as Satan. But when he fell, he said, I'm not going to go alone. I will cause maximum damage like a suicide bomber. Bring one by third with me, which means he deceived them beforehand. Maximum damage is the only intent of wickedness. Anyway, I'm going to be destroyed. Let me go with the company. Anyone wants to come with me? Or where are you going? Oh, just a fountain of fire. Let's all be burned to ashes. That parasite, if you remember the big whale, there's always a small fish, sucker fish. It does not hunt. It does not go and find food. Just suck the blood from the body of the big fish and just live. But when you look at the fish, can you say it's one fish? No, right? You would say that's a big fish. But there are small fish that takes the blood from that fish. Those are parasites. Doesn't belong to the fish. The Lord will remove it. If we know how beautifully to embrace what needs to be embraced and ignore what must be ignored. Now you read, if Jesus Christ is considered, compared and called and mentioned as a stumbling block, then who are you? Who I am? Who am I? If he is the word of God, I'm the part of the word. If he can be the stumbling block for those who disobey, those who misuse the word, that is his judgment as a righteous judge. Who I am? The Lord says, do not be a stumbling block. Don't think of yourself highly. That is the meaning behind the word. Do not be overly righteous. That is the meaning behind the word. If God wants to heal a person, can he go and stop in between and say, Jesus Christ, I'm not letting you heal him. Who is it? The moment I have the thought, my legs will go crippled, I will be crawling. The moment I wanted to say something, I would lose my voice. I won't even reach the place. The healing will take place as it is. Nothing shall stand in the way of holiness. So when the Lord says, do not be a stumbling block, the Lord is also judging people in his own ways. He can do it two different ways. Either it will go by itself, the recompense will come to their own head, or those who are disobedient, those who are against God's will, can also become part of the plan and take the blame upon themselves. A man, an evil man, a son of perdition, as the book of Ezekiel calls it, a wickedness, a flesh that is about to be destroyed. What if I want to bring my own vengeance, own judgment, own righteousness, and I become a murderer? Now you understand why there are two people in this verse. Offender is the one who give. But offended, you may think, thank God, I'm a victim. No, he gives you the title of offender. He gives you the reason to be offended. Am I correct? It's a circle, right? Can you separate serpent and Eve from here? Cain would come and say, hey, how come you are separating my mother and father? I am the fruit of their offense, isn't it? It's a fruit. Can't be separated. Because either one should not have agreed for the offense to take place in the first place. Either one. Whether two or more agree in my name, that is a blessed assurance. There is also a cursed example. Whether two or more agree to do evil things, like how the abomination was committed in the midst of the congregation of Israel. Two were committing the abomination. And one empty vessel, which was filled by the zeal of the Lord of hosts, take the spear of truth, throw the spear of truth. Did not wait for hierarchy. Did not think too much about so much, what you call, corporate structure. Moses was there. Aaron was there. Eleazar was there. Imagine Phinehas takes a spear and he hesitates. My father, I throw a spear to you. Okay? You throw to Aaron. Okay? You throw to Moses. Okay? Moses, you throw. Oh, my hands are so painful. And that abomination will continue to increase the death toll. 24,000, right? Yes, 24,000 people died on that day. 24,000 people died on that day, even in the midst of Phinehas reacting so swiftly. Spirit of truth, your heart that is empty for the Lord's presence to come in, not waiting for any flesh to guide you. You know exactly what you should do. Confession. Oh, two in agreement, flesh and wickedness. Confession in the two, in Jesus Christ's name, get thee behind me, you offense. That abomination destroyed, burned in the same place. And that's why the Bible says, do not delay in performing the Lord's commandments. Phinehas, do not delay in throwing your spear in the right way, in your heart. The judgment of the Lord begins from the house of the Lord. Your confession, your proclamation, not your anger, not your advice, not your criticism, that doesn't profit anything. Truth, nothing but the whole truth. In love, in sincerity. So now, offender heard the people, and this offender, he gives him the title, you are the offender. But most of the time, this character does not know that he is the offender. He does not know that he is the offender, and the offender does not know that the offender never intend to offend him or her. So who is dancing in between? The fruit of evil, standing big, tall, dancing its own song. Yes. No communication, no transparency, no trust, no confidence. Case closed. The enemy will dance in the between. There is a gap because there was no conversation. Godly, good, divine, blessed, transparent, truthful, faithful, humble, grateful conversation. It was not existed in between these two. So because of that, the wickedness became a fruit. It's not a person. It's a wickedness. Why? You became weary, he became guilty. Profited nothing. And Jesus Christ said, hello, you are all forgetting myself, the only one who can be offended. Jesus Christ. If he is offended, we are gone. So I pray the Lord bless all of us. Not from tomorrow. Not from next week. That is the devil voice speaking. Let's wait. From today, there is only one who should not be offended in our life. Jesus Christ. Amen. That we should not offend him. By how? By disobeying him. When there is obedience, offense will be burnt into ashes. When there is trust and confidence. So, when the Lord called all of us to trust and believe him, he also called all of us to trust and believe in one another while we are all imperfect, going through the same burning the furnace pruning process like silver and gold. Now you read this next verse. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snagged and be taken. But First John says, it's not possible. No one can be taken from God's mighty hand. Yes. No one can be broken, correct? No one can be destroyed. No one can be snared. But verse 15 is extremely harsh. Which means those who stumble and fall, and then it will create them to be vulnerable, make open the doors to be vulnerable, broken, snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord, and that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Set your eyes on the author of salvation. Amen. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs, for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. The very last verse of book of Joel, chapter 3. The Lord, I will cleanse the blood which I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Mount Zion. Same verse, the Lord dwells in Mount Zion. Now, is the Lord living, dwelling in you? Now, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, we have a few verses to read to set the context of the thought process when the inspiration of Holy Ghost came upon the vessel. I want to read from verse chapter 9 so that we keep the understanding intact, no breach. Chapter 9, verse 30. Yes. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. So there is works of the faith and the works of the law. Faith without works is dead. Works of the faith is life. Works of the law is death. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. There is only one stumbling stone. There is only one chief cornerstone. Which means the stone that was ignored became the head cornerstone, chief cornerstone. But those who ignored the stone, that stone became the stumbling stone for them. Isn't it? Those who mock at Jesus, those who want to do evil things to God's people, those who use the name of the ministry to make money, to create power and authority, to feel like a celebrity, use the altar for like a stage and limelight and top. What is spotlight? Spotlight. We are called to be spotless, not to seek for spotlight. Limelight. We are called to live in the light, not to seek for limelight. Oh, I want attention. I want admiration. We are standing in front of the pillar of fire, my dear brethren. Not a place where admiration, attention, reputation can be purchased. We are all purchased of His blood. Let's remember, we are purchased. Give no offense to the ministry of the Lord that may be called as blame. When we blame the ministry of the Lord, do you know what will happen? Blasphemy, again, the Son of Man shall be forgiven. Oh yes, I can speak evil of anyone. Blasphemy, again, the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. Good, right? Good. Now please separate me, Son of Man, from the Holy Ghost. What is the verse represents? When we are in flesh, we have lack of understanding. And the Lord looks at all our ignorance. He says, come on. Okay, I'll wait for you. When the Lord gave you His Spirit, He touched you with His divine, mighty, healing hand. You received a comforter. You received His name. And the Son of Man, who represents the earthly kingdom, to be restored to the heavenly kingdom, for He is called to be the Redeemer. He must claim the earthly throne through the David, the king of Israel, in the earthly generation. David, Solomon, Josiah, all the way to Joseph, Mary, Jesus. Jesus, that is earthly. But for heavenly, only Son, only begotten Son. The firstborn, the church, the firstborn of the church. The Prince of Peace. Nothing was made without Him. Everything was created by Him, in Him, for Him. That is where we fail. We think God made all of this for me. Oh, this building, this beautiful tree, beautiful mountain, beautiful ocean. I can go and descend this. I can go for fishing. For me, the Lord says everything is created for Him. That is why I am His. I belong to Him. Because no one can handle that heaviness. We will be destroyed by pride if we embrace that credit. None of us want to claim God's goodness as our own. Pride will eat you alive. Now it says here, wherefore, which means, where are you? What will you do? What if I show the power? The Lord is asking so many questions. And verse 33, as it is written, which means what? It is done. As it is written, it was spoken. That is why it was written. Written is stage 2. Spoken is stage 1. God spoke, vessels wrote, which means it was spoken. Thus saith the Lord. I said a few Sundays ago, in all the end time messages, ministries, churches, we are looking for some fresh miracle, fresh prophecies to feel excited, feel pumped up. And we completely forget the fact that the Lord spoke so many words from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, it's boring. Every time the same chapter, same verse. Do we have the words in our life? Let's don't go further. How many of us can say, assuredly, all 10 commandments in me? In me. Not I know. All 10 commandments in me. Do we have the confidence to say that? I have fulfilled, I have lived the commandment, it is in me. No. We are still seeking that perfection. I am filled up to the brim of obedience that I fulfill the law of Christ. This is what? The word that was spoken by His love. Now He says, the rock of offense, stumbling stone and rock of offense. So there is another word, rock of offense, stumbling stone. I love David, the way he speaks. Lord, who am I, Lord, for you to look down on me and do all things for me? David, you are the greatest king of Israel. Lord, who am I, Lord, for you to come and look at me with a small piece of dust? Stumbling stone. Sometimes we think, I don't want to say this, but if I don't say this, I'll become a stumbling stone, you know. We exalt ourselves. Let's take a pause. Who are we? Dust of the earth. Who was created and the Lord breathed His life and He made us to be a lively stone. The last day, remain as a lively stone, full of life, full of joy, full of truth, full of my commandments, full of my obedience. If you don't do it, you will become a stumbling stone. Why? You would influence people in a bad way. When I influence someone in a bad way for gossiping, to force my thought into the mind of someone, I'm a stumbling stone. But that stumbling stone, the big one, the only one, will crush the small stumbling stone, the vipers, and make them into pieces of ashes. And the Lord says, I don't want you to become those. I don't want anyone to perish. The Lord said that, right? Book of Ezekiel. I don't want anyone to perish. I want all to be saved. So what is the word stumbling stone? The Lord says, I am the stumbling stone. I am the righteous judge. I am the savior. I am the chief cornerstone. I am the fountain of life. I am the never drying, everlasting fountain. And I am also the fire that devoureth all that comes against my children. The wall of fire. Oh, I am also the flame that is from the burning bush, but I am also the fire that destroys everything that comes against the burning bush. He is all in all. Double-edged sword. So now, rock of offense, stumbling stone, the Lord said, hey, the title belongs to me, okay? He said, I am taking the title. Offender, the rock of offense, Jesus Christ, who can say, I am offended by your life. Oh, Lord, the rock of offense. But he said, I am your defense. I defend you. I shield you. I hide you in my wings if you just obey and believe and just do what I say. Now, the family of God, the ministry of God shall not be blamed. Cannot be blamed. Why? This word blame will result into blasphemy. Let's think. One single word. Why Jesus was crucified. One single word. All the accusation against him was blasphemy. One single word for what Jesus was killed for. He blasphemed. He blasphemed. He was keep on speaking something against God. Accused him of blasphemy and killed him. Stephen, blasphemy. All the apostles, same. The word that killed God's children in the church ages was, he's saying something that is against our belief. He's doing something that is against our faith. Kill him. Blasphemy. Ministry cannot be blamed. Because ministry is nothing but the work of the Lord. Imagine you are standing in a beautiful mountain. You see a beautiful valley of lake. So wonderful. And you see a beautiful gentle breeze. And the gentle breeze is the ministry of the Lord. The work of the Holy Ghost that makes all the lake, all the trees to move. Because the wind touches the water. The wind touches the tree. And everything dances to the wind. And the breeze is the music note. And the trees and the water and everything that is of life that sings to the tune. But there is one who sent the wind and just sitting and watching. But he is the one. He is all in all. The work of the Lord can be blamed when we embrace our own understanding. And when you blame without your knowledge, you may go against the Holy Ghost. And the book of Isaiah says, let him be your fear. Not just fear him. What is fear? I am fear. Let him be your fear. The Lord says, let him be your fear. Which means, what if I said something, I did something that is against the function of the Holy Ghost, rock of offense, stumbling stone? What if I proclaim the Lord, I work for the Lord, I stay with the Lord, I stay with the congregation, I do everything with a trust and obedience and confidence and assurance for the Lord who gave me the defense. Fountain of life, chief cornerstone. Now, let's read the next verse. In book of Romans, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. Brother Clement, please read it for us. I will write something.
But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Therefore, as though one man's offense came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous.
Amen.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound.
Abound.
But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more.
Hallelujah. Grace did much more abound. The great eagle fly above the storm, rise above the hatred, rise above the flesh offense. Offenses must come, but the Lord says, don't worry. My grace will crush and will soar above the storms. If you are not careful, we won't catch it. You will sink deep. Now it says, free gift. Free. Buy two, get one free. Free gift. You can take as many as you want. For no reason. Brother, how are you? You think I'm sick? I'm offended. Brother, are you okay? You think I'm not okay? I'm offended. We can say offense for everything. I don't say anything. You don't talk to me. I'm offended. We can find absolutely no reason to embrace pain. And we can find absolutely no meaningful, holy, divine cause to do what is against God. But there is only one reason that we can do good. And He has claimed all the reasons. He is the one. For by one man mistake, if sin entered, and by one man sacrifice, He sealed the breach. Then you live the life for that one man. Let's keep it simple. We don't have to study 27 doctrines and put in a milkshake and mix everything and try to feel something. We are so nourished. Very simple. If you know the one who died on the cross is the one who created you, your life is full. And you live the life for the one who died for you. Let's keep it simple. He is the truth. Knowing Jesus is knowledge. Knowing Jesus is wisdom. Knowing Jesus is the ministry of reconciliation. What is knowing? Adam knew Eve. They gave birth to Abel, a child who lived for the righteousness of the Lord and was killed for the righteousness. And Jesus said, the righteous blood of Abel cries unto me, you know. I must hear the righteous. I must hear the cry of Abel's blood. Lord, 4,000 years old. 4,000 years old of wine. The older it gets, the tastier it becomes. And He will bring the wine, the cup of wrath, to judge the disobedient and to bless the obedient. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Book of Romans, chapter 14. Oh, I love this verse. Now we understand why people were running here and there to kill Apostle Paul. He was destroying darkness. He was destroying wickedness. Like a machine gun preacher shooting the truth everywhere he goes, and the bullets never go dry. Verse 16. I think that is where we should start. Verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Do you know how difficult it is? If you don't understand what it is. We may say we serve the Lord, but the same service that we did for the Lord might be the one that profaned the Lord. We may say we do this and that for the Lord, but the same this and that for the Lord might be a stumbling block for those and that children, brothers and sisters. Let not, which means the Lord says, you have the power. The word of God is so beautiful, we must chew on. What do we mean, let not? You have to remember, Lord said, let there be light. Lord, you said, let there be light. And the Lord says, let not your good to be evil spoken of. And what does it mean? You can say, let there be darkness. Let there be anger. Let there be denial. Let there be betrayal. In my life, of course, I have no power over you. But I have full power over me. Let there be wickedness. Oh, I can. Oh, there is wickedness. Let there be lies. Oh, Brother Clement, I did this, I did that, but I'm just lying. I can say, let there be, and I can fulfill it. Let there be rebellion. Korah, see, I said, let there be rebellion, and you see, there's a rebellion. Surprise, few moments later, everything is gone. It's true, we can also create something, but those are destructible, will be destroyed. The one that is indestructible, indispensable, can only be done by the word of God. And when the Bible says, let not be, the Lord says, you are completely responsible, completely accountable, if you let your good to be evil spoken of. Do not blame me, do not blame my spirit, do not blame my word. Because ministry of God cannot be blamed. It's celebrated. Ministry of God is praised, rejoiced, glorified, not blamed. Wickedness will blame. Oh, this apostle is always taking all the sheep from a captivity. They'll blame them. It's okay. That is accusing. Don't worry. Now, what says next verse? Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is how it has become over the past 600 years, especially. Meat and drink. Doctrine 1, Doctrine 1A. Doctrine 2, 2B, 2C, 2D. People want to be identified by doctrine. Oh, we are this church. We have a name. We are different from you because we have this patent. Because you believe this doctrine in this way. We believe this doctrine in this way. So we are different because we want to keep our customers. Are we a startup company? My ministry is better than your ministry. My ministry has this much. My brethren, there is only one ministry. And there is only one head. And there is only one truth. And there is only one doctrine. The doctrine of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ to me? The revelation of Jesus is the whole purpose of the whole Bible. Because if you know him, you know yourself. Because you are in him. You are in him. But what happens? Like the smartphone companies, how they compete each other. We have this technology. We are different from them. So they create one group to speak bad about the other group. To spoil their market. So that they can have more market. That is how all the politicians will do. And that is how all the denominations are doing. Everybody wants to be identified, number one. Want to be differentiated, number two. Want to be appreciated, number three. All three are not the service to Jesus Christ. The way the Lord served his disciples is the same way the apostles served their congregation. And the same way the congregation must serve one another. And the congregation of the next generation. He has set a blueprint, an example. This is how the ministry shall be. Now, let's read that verse. Which verse was I? Why? Romans 14, right? Verse 20, please read, brother. Verse 20 and 12, 18, please read both. Romans 14, verse 20.
Do not destroy the work of God. For the sake of food, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense.
Romans 8, 12, 18. Thank you.
Romans 8, 12 to 18. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. So now I wanted to read these two verses to bring the context correct. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's what we just read, right? And Romans 12, 18 and 14, 20 says, do not eat offense. But Jesus Christ called himself, I'm the bread of life, eat me. So, it's a free gift, many offenses will come. It's not the hurt and pain, it's nothing but the sin and disobedience and the lack of understanding that comes with it. And the consequences of outcomes, the weariness that brings forth from it. And the Lord says, do not eat it. It's a forbidden fruit. Don't eat it. So now, We continue from 20, verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Which means, the one whom you are called to be the part of the word by eating him, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, if you eat him, you will become the part of the lively stone, priesthood, chief cornerstone, and you would be the part of the salvation of your brother. But if you eat offense, instead of bread of life, you become the stumbling stone that is not glorifying the name of the Lord. And the Lord says, because you eat offense, you would be the root of someone to stumble. But you don't have the power to make someone to stumble. For example, if you can say, you know, we are the Philistines, Ammonites, Amorite group. We had a very strong army. We were successfully able to overcome the anointed king Saul, you know. We killed him, not just him, also the son of Saul, Jonathan. Look at the power. Is it? If the Lord did not allow them to be killed, no one is touching them. So, stumbling stone is not a power, it's a shame. It's an abomination, it's filthiness that we don't want that. Because it is not power, it is absolutely powerless. When we have no power, we will become the stumbling stone. When we have the power of Holy Ghost, we will be part of the chief cornerstone. Do not eat offense. Verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. Which means the Lord says, I know my children by the way they endure their life in my process. If they don't endure, they will complain, they will blame me. When they blame me, they're condemning me. You condemn Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Finally, we have come to the end of where the offense leads. It leads sin, doubt, and disobey. Why? If you truly believe Jesus Christ is a rock of offense, if you truly believe Jesus Christ is the fountain of life, he is a stumbling stone, then who I am? I am called to be the lively stone who shall remain as a lively stone, live and die. Amen? But if I take my own power, which means I have used my free will, I chose to do this. After we did this, we cannot blame anyone because God said, I am not part of your plan. He will wash his hand. Now, let's read two more verses. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 28 to 35. 1 Samuel chapter 25, 28 to 35. Yes, brother.
Please forgive the trespasses of your maidservant. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battle of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet, a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of living with the Lord our God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you.
Amen.
And has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord.
Unto my Lord.
Either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant.
Amen. Please, brother, please be seated. What a wonderful conversation from this beautiful woman, Abigail, to David. Do you see what she represents? She was married to another man. His name is Nabal. But the Bible did not leave him as Nabal. There was a title given to him, Wicked Man Nabal. He can't escape. Wicked Man Nabal. Why? The wickedness gave him the title. Nabal, from now on, you will be called as Wicked Man Nabal. So Abigail, the righteous, virtuous woman, is married to a wicked man called Nabal. Correct? The children of God, when we were born, we were walking dead. But he's life, but we were walking dead. Correct? And our flesh, our filthiness, our temptations, our trials, our weaknesses, our sins, our iniquities, everything that we have that is not glorifying the name of the Lord is part of us. Two shall be one flesh in our life. But Abigail, she went to David and she knows that the wickedness of the man whom she married to. She's establishing a communication beautifully to the king, David. And she says, verse 31, that this shall be no grief unto thee. Do not grieve the Holy Ghost. Why the woman is representing this conversation? Why not a man? And why the woman is submitting herself to the man who is going to be her husband? But she is still married to wickedness now. And she says, there shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. David, a man after my own heart, for he do all my will. He got a name from God himself. The one who killed Uriah. The one who killed Uriah, God calls him David, a man after my own heart. So let's go and tell the Lord, Lord, you are not. It seems you need my training, how to work law, righteousness, legal. And that David is approached by Abigail, and Abigail tells him, I pray that your heart is not offended because of what's going on. She says, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, and the Bible says, God tells to the people, I have not done anything without a cause. There is no causeless work in the work of God. There is no fruitless work in the work of God. There is no meaningless ministry in the ministry of God. Everything is fruitful, full of purpose, full of life, full of light. And Abigail says, I don't want you to do anything because of the offense. Or that my Lord has avenged himself, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, it is well with my soul. The Lord dealt with me so beautifully. He gave me life. He gave me people to love me. He gave me people to pray for me. We do not thank the Lord for all of this. That. And she said, Lord, you dealt me well. What? Your husband is a wicked man. And you tell the Lord dealt you well. David, she's talking about David. Now, verse 32. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. Wow. When I saw the verse, I remembered the woman who met Jesus near the Jacob's well. And Jesus told her about the fountain of life, fountain of water. And he sent her, go to the city and just tell them about me. So she went to the city and she told all of them that Jesus, the well of living water, the fountain of life, sitting near Jacob's well, our forefather, the son of Jacob is here. The promised son is here. Please go and meet him. So she was sent by Jesus Christ. Amen? Because God wanted to glorify himself in her. Now Abigail was sent to David. David tells her, you did not come to me. God sent you to me. And blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood. And from avenging myself with my own hand. So David says, if you didn't come, I would have made my hand full of blood of murder. But you know who killed Nabal? God himself. He struck him. 10 days later, he was killed. After that, Abigail was given to who? David? So now Abigail is who? David's wife. Now this is an earthly event, but it represents the heavenly event. The bride, the wife of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the son of David, he is separating us from all the wickedness, and we are letting go everything, and we give no offense, we give no offense that the ministry of the Lord is blamed, we give no offense that the kingship of David is blamed, and Abigail went forward, and she submitted, she surrendered, and David, he know what to do, and he waited, and he took Abigail. Amen? That good woman was given back to the good man. But what David did after this, he learned a bad lesson. He did the same thing to Uriah and he fell. Why? he exercised his own offense, he offended the Lord Almighty. When the Lord did, it was the work of the Lord. But when you do, it becomes judgment. Becomes presumption. So Abigail represents a beautiful woman, a church or a bride, a good lesson for us. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes. The son of David, Solomon. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. This is the last passage as we close. We'll continue when I come back. Chapter 7, verse 19 onwards. So before we read this verse, I want all of us to summarize this in our heart, so that we read this and we reflect. Because you are the bride, the beautiful woman sitting on a camel, holding the lamp, trimming the oil lamp, everything, preparing, decked herself ready for the groom to come, Jesus to come. We are waiting for the perfection. But we cannot be selfish. I prepare myself by serving the Lord. I trim my lamp by serving the Lord. I serve the Lord by serving His children. I serve His children by serving the purpose of the Lord in the land where I was rooted as a garden. It's all interconnected, right? Because we must be fruitful to Him. Now the enemy wants us to be fruitless by throwing pointless, costless, meaningless, lifeless stones, which are nothing but offenses must come. If I'm outside the wall, the arrow will hit me. If I'm inside the wall, the arrow will not hit me. As simple as that. If the breastplate of righteousness is on my chest, my heart is sealed. If I just look at it was so beautiful, right? You see the way they crafted this. You look at the design, Sister Zoe. Then someone, you know, throw the arrow into my heart. I said, yes, I had the breastplate of righteousness, but not on my chest, in my hand, showing everyone. Now he says, verse 19, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. When the Lord gave 10 commandments, I was praying and understanding from the Lord's grace why the iniquities of Ammonites, all the enemies of the Lord should be full before the Lord decided to put an end. Why they have to be full? This on one side. On the other side, the empty water pots of stone, the vessels of God, also filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a filling. The anointing of the Lord Almighty is filling the vessels of the Lord Almighty. There is a filling. Both the sides will be filled at the same time. Because God, He spoke the word like a double-edged sword. He executed His commandment, His judgment once, but it produces life on one side and destroy everything on one side. He do everything at once. So when the grace period ends, which means the grace period is over, good, which means the Lord also fulfilled whatever that He purposed. Also, over. Then He has tribulation, marriage of the Lamb, judgment, then the sequence follows. But before the Gentiles, who are called to embrace the grace period and to do the maximum benefit that we can do, to bring profit to the Lord, multifold. What we are doing, how we are maximizing our life, enlarging, that we carry the child, the promise of God in our life, in our womb, and we bring forth the child. Amen? So now in this process, if all of those things come against us, offender, offense, titles, what is the fruit? Ministry cannot be blamed, and we can't deny, we can't betray, and we cannot say, I take offense, I receive offense, but rather we take the leadership, accountability, I give. I should not give. I should not give room. In other words, I should not give a chance. Rock of offense, Jesus. Stumbling stone, Jesus. One man by whom all of us are redeemed, Jesus. So He has claimed everything for Himself. And at the bottom, one compromise, guilty of all. You just read that. One single compromise to the law, we will be guilty of all. Now read the verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So there is a filling of sin, filling of iniquity, up to the brim. When Nabal was struck after 10 days, the wickedness was gone. Imagine I am someone who rebelled against God. I want to take first commandment. I disobey, I profane, I spread falseness about that first day. First commandment is completely profane. Now, second day, completely profane, full iniquity, 8 more to go. I do everything against God as a lack of understanding. Imagine me as a lack of understanding, not as a person. So 10 days of 10 filthy works, fulfilling everything against God, disobedience, going against God. Same as 7,000 years of what we see as a life, and the ministry of the Lord is coming to an end, to take all of us home. But the Bible says, when the wickedness is full, the Lord will come as a judge. Amen? So there is a filling of disobedience of what God has commanded. Which means, when the Lord said, do this, if you don't do this, it becomes disobedience. Amen? Sets a warning and also a blessing. So that's a filling. Now, as we are the woman, the bride, preparing ourselves to be filled by the Holy Ghost, the enemy also wants us to be filled by some other thoughts. Some other thoughts, some other wine that is not the wine of Holy Ghost. Filling. Remember this. Now read a few other verses. For often, and take no heed unto all words that are spoken. I love this scripture. Take no heed to all the words that are spoken. Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do not eat all the meat that is thrown to you. Be a man of God. Be a woman of God. Be a child of God. Be a vessel of God. Be a seed of God. Be the bride of Christ. And discern. Test everything before you eat. Do not eat and see how it is. Test everything before you eat. If there is a thought in your heart, before you establish it, test and throw it if it is not of God, and keep it if it is of God. Amen? Don't take heed to anything, especially your internal voices. That is the most dangerous of all. Verse 23, and all this have I proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? Because it was hidden from me. The life was hidden Christ. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, that is lack of understanding, even of foolishness, that is no wisdom, and madness, that is no mind of Christ. Without mind of Christ, whatever we do is the madness from the world, from the flesh. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but a sinner shall be taken by her. The wife of Potiphar and the wife of Nabal. If you take these two women, one who wanted to destroy the ministry of Joseph, and one who wanted to celebrate the ministry of David, and the one who wanted to celebrate was taken by David as a wife, and the one who wanted to destroy Joseph was not even named. And she became a bad example of deception, bad example of spots and blames on the garment of God's children. Joseph escaped. David married Abigail. You must remember that woman. And also remember the woman, the great whore of Babylon in the book of Revelation, who wants to drag all the God's children to disobey him, to go against him and to draw them to death and destruction. She is also doing this. By how? By offending God, by making the children of God to offend God's work and his word. Stumble at his word. Behold, this have I found, said the preacher. Who is the preacher? The one who built high places for Ashtaroth? No. The one who is resting upon King Solomon, the wisdom that was given to Solomon by God Almighty. This is the wisdom he's bringing. He thought serving people, ruling kingdom is wisdom. And God made him to understand it was so, so miserably wrong. Then he understood. Understanding Jesus is the true wisdom. When he understood, he wrote all the books, all the words of wisdom through the inspiration of the Lord. And he says, counting one by one to find out the account, teach us to number our days, Lord, Verse 28, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. When I saw the verse, I was reflecting when the Lord said, I look for a man to stand in the gap, and I find no one. But here the Lord says, a one man I found among thousand, but a woman I have not found any. How do you bring these two verses together? Spoken in two different contexts, but means the same thing. The bride of Christ does not have gender, correct? I am also a bride of Christ. But on earth, I am a man. It represents the Eve who came out of Adam. Because she came out of Adam, serpent deceived her. Because serpent deceived her, they all went out of the Garden of Eden. The rental contract was terminated immediately by the landlord. Now they had to come back to their own house. But they can't come back. Adam must carry Eve inside him. Which means Eve must go inside him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the last Adam, quickening spirit. I in you, you in me. The only way we enter the blessed rest, the promised land. Amen. He must be in us, we must be in him. So that woman, the bride, as we are the church of God, the woman who should come out of traditions, out of wickedness of Nabal, out of everything to go to Son of David, Jesus Christ, and submit to him, surrender to him, and do not give him any offense in the ministry of him. Because he is a king of new city, Holy Jerusalem. And that woman, have I not found? Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Many offenses will come. Jesus said many offenses must come because it's free. The deceptive training by serpent, there was no training fee. It was free. He gave it freely to her. Cain was also free. He gave freely to her. Everything was free. But salvation is free. He died for us. He paid a debt for me. What I will do? What we will do? Nothing is free in the divine kingdom of God. Amen? It is given. The one who gave you salvation, the one who granted you salvation, the one who gave you light, the one who granted you truth, revelation. There is only one thing I can give him back. My life as a living sacrifice, acceptable to him. My life as a ministry service, acceptable to him. But if it is not acceptable to his children, how can it be acceptable to him? Do I exercise myself toward offense, toward God and toward men? If God sent me to serve men, I cannot serve God alone because he is in them. Heavenly, earthly. Amen? Let's all meditate on these verses. The Lord will guide us. True repentance is not telling, I'm sorry. True repentance is understanding who you are in front of the Son of Man. True repentance is understand what are the branches I must prune by the word. You know. The enemy will tell you, you don't know your weakness. You know your weakness. You know your mistakes. You know when you took the wrong turn. You know when you took the U-turn. You know. If you do not know, you would not have done that. Because God said, I have not done anything without any cause. And God's children would say, yes, Lord, same for me. I have not done anything without my cause. And my cause was wrong. And when the realization comes, you see how many times my life offended the ministry of Jesus Christ. You go back and tell the Lord, Lord, I am the Abigail. Deliver me from the wickedness. Take me, forgive me, and mold me, teach me, wash me, that I will not give this offense to you again, that your ministry is blamed, because I don't want to blaspheme against Holy Ghost. Blasphemy against Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven, spoken by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Blasphemy against Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven, spoken by Jesus Christ. Can't put together the two different things. That is wickedness. Lack of understanding is blasphemy. The Lord would destroy it. If I stick to my virus, if I stick to my bacteria, I would die with it. There must be a cutoff. There must be a time that we stand up and say, enough is enough. No more food or wine. I'm going to my Father's house. Amen? No more. I'm rejoicing. He is the rock of offense. He is my strong tower. He is my everything. And everything is well. I will think about good for my brother, my sister, for the non-believers, those who become believers. Because my brethren, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised. Someone will walk in the church and they'll become more sincere than we have never been. Remember what I speak today. They will die for the name of the Lord more than what we can do. Please remember, you would remember what I tell you today. They would come and bring fruits through the land even more than what we have brought so far. Because it is not them, it is not you, it is him. There's a time, and that time is called the perfect will of God. Let's all embrace, and let's never ever give up on anyone. If the Holy Ghost is in one another, I don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. I don't want to speak evil of my brother. I don't want to speak evil of my ministry. True repentance is to understand, Lord, where I went wrong so that I can go to heaven. That is selfishness. Lord, where I went wrong that I could not serve you with the fullest of my potential. That is servanthood. Amen. The Lord will bless you all. By the grace of God, I shall be flying on Tuesday. My university is sending me to Japan. Keep me in your prayers. I will be fellowshipping with the saints in Japan on Sunday. The arrangements have been made by the servant of God, Brother Abayo. This trip is arranged by the university. I will be back to Singapore on Monday. Keep me in your prayers. There must be a purpose in everything the Lord is allowing in our life. And I pray these six parts of true repentance goes into our heart. I'm still going to continue in the same direction. The titles may change, but the flow would not change. That is how. We are not limited by title or no. It's just a representation of what we are studying. But we will continue in the same direction. The Lord has put a thought in my heart for a topic, but in the same direction. We continue from here. Where we stop, we'll continue from here. Keep me in your prayers, and may the Lord bless all of us. God bless you all. Shalom. Let's all stand as I pray and close. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, who is watching over all of us, that we are always in thy mighty hand, that we are always standing in thy promises, that we are always guided by the Holy Ghost, that we are always embracing the confidence, assurance that we are the children of God and we are the family of God. Thank you, Lord, that you blessed us with the truth and you blessed us with the people who receive the truth. Thank you, Lord, that you blessed us with the ministry and you blessed us with the purpose of the ministry is to bring souls into the divine, marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, for the purpose. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God. Help us, Lord, to live our life for your purpose, to live our life for your will, to live our life for the salvation of people who are dying in darkness, to live our life as a meaningful, acceptable, beautiful, divine sacrifice unto thee. May you bless us that we are always standing inside the wall of Jerusalem. May you guide us that we are always standing inside the door that no enemy can penetrate, no arrow can penetrate. May you bless us that we are always standing and walking in the way of holiness where there are no beasts can enter in, O Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. May you help us that we live a life that we are prepared as a bride waiting for a marriage. In Jesus Christ's name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord.